following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is End Time Headlines. It is Monday, September 11th, 2023. Today commemorates the 22 years of the 9/11, September 11, 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center as well as the Pentagon. And we want to come on here today, and I've got a message I want to share with you, a little bit of insight that I want you to observing. And being keeping a watchful eye on. Before we get started, if you've not downloaded our free app, I want you to do that today. Again, it's available. It's free. It's on Google and Apple stores. You can go to your Apple store, your Google store, find us. If you're listening to the broadcast, just type in End Time Headlines. Look for our official ETH logo. Download our free app. Get it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go with every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. And of course, if you're new to the broadcast, your first time joining us, let us know where you guys are joining us from in the comment section below. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to hit that like button, that subscribe button, hit that little bell for push notifications. And all this, what this does is pushes our material out there on the algorithm, on the systems in which you're watching, whether it's on Rumble, YouTube, or Facebook Live, or what else. So we want to welcome, again, all of our audience. I am Ricky Scaparro, the founder and the pastor of End Time Headlines. This is End Time Headlines news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Now, want to give you a little bit of a fair warning before we get started. Tonight's message is not going to be for milk eaters. This is going to be for the more mature and the meat eaters, for especially, and I don't say this disrespectfully, but this is really going to be, tonight's podcast is really going to be an equipping message for all of the sons of Issachar out there, for the for those who understand the times and seasons in which we're in. This is going to be an equipping message. Let's get started. Right now, as many of you guys know, who understand the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, again, we as Americans are those of us in the West, we understand what's called the Gregorian calendar. This is the calendar that we go by every year, our typical calendar. It's from January 1st all the way to December 31st, and we start the new year on January 1st. But on the Hebrew calendar, they do not start the new year on January 1st, they begin during the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, and it's typically in the months of September. Right now in the Jewish calendar, we're in the season of Teshuvah. Now, as you've if you're new to the broadcast, this might be new to you, but for you guys who are seasoned, you guys that are long-term listeners and viewers, you understand this. We've talked about this. The word Teshuvah simply means to return. It literally is a time to return to the presence of God. It is also understood that is a returning to God is accompanied by repentance. So we could say it's a returning to God through the act of repentance. Teshuvah occurs during the 40 days beginning the first day of the sixth month on the Jewish calendar and ending on the Day of Atonement. On the 10th day of the seventh month, observant Jews and those who understand the Hebrew calendar understand that this is a 40-day period. And then you have this last days of this 40-day period between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement called the 10 days of awe. Now, I believe we begin the 40 days of Teshuvah began right around the middle of August. So we are actually getting ready to head into on September 16th to the 25th. We're entering into that 10 days, which is called the 10 days of awe. Now, again, this represents an opportunity. This is a space or a window of space to repent. According to the Hebrew understanding of this, it is the reason why this space of repentance is given, this space of time, this 10 days of awe on the Hebrew calendar is to avoid the judgment of God. Because you got to remember, you have Teshuvah, and then it goes into the Day of Atonement. Okay? So what does this mean for us as believers? We as believers understand that these 40 days of Teshuvah and the 10 days of awe is it's an open invitation of the Lord to repent and enter into covenant or unity with God through the blood of Christ. Now, of course, we can do this anytime, guys. You don't have to do this during the 10 days of awe. You don't have to do this during Teshuvah. We understand that we could come anytime before the throne room of God through the blood of Jesus. We can repent, we can get right with God, but there is what's called seasons of our God. Now, again, this is why I gave you that disclaimer at the beginning of this, because people would get worked up, people would get bent out of shape, and people will get offended, especially those who only understand the Bible from a Western perspective. They don't understand cycles. They don't understand patterns. They don't understand types and shadows. They don't understand the feast of the Lord. They don't understand the Hebrew, original language of Hebrew in the Old Testament and portions of it in Aramaic. They don't understand the New Testament written in Greek. So because they don't understand these things, when someone like me comes along and we start talking about the Jewish feast days, we start talking about patterns, we talk about types and shadows, we talk about these major feast days of the Lord, people get bent out of shape because they will begin accusing me of trying to push Judaism. They will say that I'm trying to pull people into false doctrine and leading people astray, when it's simply not true. Let me give you one example of this. Okay, one example. When the New Testament was written, it was written predominantly to a Jewish audience, with the exception of Paul's writings, which, again, he was raised up, what, to bring the gospel to who? The Gentiles. But when Paul was addressing most of the listeners in the New Testament, they were a predominantly Jewish audience. The first Gentile converts didn't come till Acts chapter 10. So, oh, come on. When he starts writing his letters, like to the church of Corinth and the church of Thessalonica, and he writes things like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, where he says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God." Somebody say trumpet of God. "And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And then you go to 1 Corinthians. Again, this is the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53, he writes, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And again, that's if you read this from a Western perspective, and I'm telling you, the Seventh-day Adventists love that word sleep, because this is where they build an entire doctrine on what happens after you die. This word here for sleep is not physically sleeping, it's death. It's a Greek idiom that was used. It was very common that day when they would say, when someone would die, they would say, "Our great brother is asleep with his fathers." And they would talk about this. This is not literally sleeping. This is, again, an idiom used for the word death or dying. "We shall not all be dead." We shall not all die. This is what he's saying here. "We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed." Verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." Somebody say the last trumpet. Now, where am I going with this? I'm getting ready. Again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the understanding of the Bible outside of your Western perspective to give you a deeper revelation and understanding of the times and seasons of the Lord based on his times, his seasons, his calendar, not our calendar, not our Western perspective. All right, I'm in verse 52. "In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead. Now notice he went from sleep to dead because they interchange because they're the same meaning. The dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Now notice there's a dead that's raised and then there's another group that's changed. Because again, this correlates with 1 Thessalonians 4, where it says the dead in Christ will rise first, and it happens at a trumpet. And then we who are, and then the other group who's alive and remain at this event shall be caught up. Do you see that? Two different groups. Dead shall rise first, and then the alive and remain shall be caught up. 1 Corinthians does not contradict this. It's the same revelation written by the same author who is the Apostle Paul, who was given one of seven mysteries of the Lord given to him. And this is the mystery of the rapture. So here we see there's a last trumpet. There's a group called the dead in Christ who will rise first. They will be raised incorruptible. And then we shall be changed. How are we going to be changed? We're going to be transformed. Look what it says. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. Now, why did I tell you to remember trumpet and the last trump at this event? Because when Paul was speaking here to a predominantly Jewish audience, there was no one there that wrote back to him from the church of Corinth from the church of Thessalonica asking for clarity from Paul what he meant about the last trumpet. Now, people will say, well, the last trumpet is the four angels in Revelation. When you get to the end of the tribulation, that's when the rapture is going to take place. But the problem is, this was written before John wrote the book of Revelation in 95 AD. So therefore, this could not be that revelation. This could not be the same event. The reason why Paul never had to give clarity to the audience in which he was writing to is because they were predominantly Jewish and they understood the term last trumpet as alluding to a feast, one of seven that are major feasts of Israel that are commemorated, and it's called the Feast of Trumpets. Now at this feast, by the way, this feast, the Feast of Trumpets, occurs around the same time frame every year. It's in the fall months on our Gregorian calendar. It's usually in the month of September on the Hebrew calendar. And at this feast, the Feast of Trumpets, there is a series of trumpets. In fact, there's over 100 trumpets that are blasted during the Feast of Trumpets. And each one of these blasts of trumpets represent certain things, and there's a certain Hebrew word that goes along with it. For example, the tokia is the first category. This is a long single blast of the trumpet. It's known as tokia. It's a straight, plain, smooth, continuous blast, and its purpose is to symbolize joy and contentment. Then there is another series of blasts in the trumpets. These are three short blasts, and these are known as the Shevarim, and these serve to symbolize a season or a time of weeping. Then there's what's called the Trua. I believe that's how you pronounce that. And these are extremely short blasts of the trumpet, and these represent trepidation, sorrow, and sobbing. So you go through all these series, and then you get, are you listening to me? You get to the last trumpet. You get to the last trump. And this trumpet in Hebrew is known as Tukia Hagudullah, and it actually means redemption, or to gather together redemption, or to redeem. So again, I want to bring some clarity to this. I promise you we're going to get somewhere today. We're going to pull up some articles. We're going to give you some insights, but I want to bring some clarity to this. What is the difference? And again, Revelation chapter 11, 15 through 19, people will tell you all my and listen, this is not a rebuke, okay? We've got no rapture people listening. We've got pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. So today I want to single on pre-trib. We could say pre-trib, mid-trib, whatever, and then post-trib. The post-trib brothers and sisters, will say that the rapture of the church happens at the last trumpet of, and it's the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation, Revelation 11. But the problem here, again, there's two different last trumpets here. The last trump mentioned in reference in 1 Thessalonians 4, we gave you that, in 1 Corinthians 15. This trumpet is centered around believers and the removal, listen to me, of the church from the earth to spare them from the wrath of God in the tribulation or through the tribulation. But the last trumpet, or the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation, is about unbelievers and those who are not born again. When this angel blows this seventh trumpet, it will unleash, read it, go read in Revelation 11. It unleashes the wrath of God, a wrath of the Lord on the earth, and there is lightning, thunder, there's an earthquake, there's great hail, and it will lead to the last plagues released in the book of Revelation during the tribulation. The last trump, referenced by Paul in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, will be blown by God himself, whereas the seventh trumpet will be blown by the seventh angel. You see that? The trump of God mentioned by Paul is concerning the events that will take place at the last trump. And God informs or instructs the church to comfort one another with these words. Read it. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:18. But Revelation 11 trumpet is concerning the sounding of the seventh trumpet by the seventh angel. And God says the nations will be angry. Let me give you one more. At the last trump that Paul gives a revelation of here, When this sounds, Jesus will no longer be in heaven because he will descend with a shout and remain in the clouds above the earth to meet the church. Read it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17. We shall be caught up with him. But there is no mention of Jesus descending. There's no shouting or remaining in the clouds when the seventh angel blows the seventh trumpet during the tribulation period. Okay, so again, there's a difference here. Now, but that's not even really what I wanted to get into today. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an extra there. Let me go back to the season that we're in right now. Right now, we are in this space to repent. Okay, we're in this space of repentance. Now, biblically speaking, they call this Elul. The Jews know this. They understand this as Elul 1 or Teshuvah. It was on Elul 1 that Jonah left for 40 days to tell Nineveh to repent. It was also in this time frame that Moses went up on Mount Sinai after the sin of the golden calf, trying to make atonement while Israel was repenting. It was also during this time frame that Jesus went out into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted of the devil, coming out on Yom Kippur. Now, I know, listen, some of you is going to be watching this and say, well, Brother Ricky, this is interesting. This is intriguing. But what does this really got to do with harbingers and judgment of God and all this stuff? Because, again, you have to understand, we have to understand that even rabbis understand the importance of this season, and they understand why this season's important. They understood, and they understand that depending on how nations respond during this season can either, watch this, bring the judgment of God upon their nation, or it can allow a reprieve to come upon a nation. Let me say that one more time. This is why this window of time is very, very crucial. Because a nation and its leadership, which, can I tell you, it is very highly likely that the majority of the nations of the world and its leadership have absolutely no clue what we're talking about today. They don't acknowledge God. They don't fear God. And they are not prompting their people, like in the days of Nineveh, to fast and to repent and to turn back to God. The chances are highly probable that this is not happening. And when they refuse to repent, they refuse to turn from their sins and their wicked ways, then the Bible says they're storing up for themselves wrath. And what happens is, as they continue to defy God, they continue to revolt against Him, it results in God having no choice but to remove His hand of favor off those nations, allowing what you and I would call judgment to come upon those nations. Now, being that today is September 11th, and it is the 22-year anniversary of the September 2001 attacks in New York City, most believers I know that know the Bible, know the Word, they've not been corrupted by this progressive Christianity, this hyper-grace false doctrine, and they still believe the whole Bible, they will agree that our nation on that day experience the judgment of God. And why did we experience the judgment of God? Listen, I don't have time to develop that. That would take another 30 minutes. But it goes all the way back. God is a merciful God. What your Bible says, He is slow to wrath and quick to forgive. He is long-suffering and wills that none perish, but all come to repentance. However, God still has a timetable. You think He's not, you think God's turned a blind eye? See, this was the problem during Jeremiah's day, and this was the problem during Isaiah's day. The people became hard-hardened. They became proudful, and they began to say things, and they became full of pride and arrogance, and they began to say things like, God will not judge us. God will turn a blind eye to our sins, to our idolatry. But as time went on, we have now discovered historically that God did not turn a blind eye. In fact, God allowed disaster to come. He allowed destruction to come. In fact, in Jeremiah 25:32, the prophet warned, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind, interesting language here, shall be raised up from the farthest parts of the earth. And listen, I believe what the Bible says, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If God rose up prophets in those days to warn the people to turn from idolatry, immorality, and all of these abominations, lest God allow disaster to go forth from nation to nation, and even to bring about whirlwinds and disasters, I venture to say that God has prophets in the earth today. Now, you can call these prophets, you can call them watchmen, you can distinguish between the two, whatever they get. Usually prophets and watchmen go hand in hand. Again, I'm not calling myself a prophet, never have. So you can save all your commentaries and your emails and your nasty messages and your threatening to unfollow me and all this nonsense. Listen, that doesn't move me. I'm going to be back here tomorrow. It's not going to change anything. I'll be right back here, same channel, same time, same message. Okay. So we're going to keep on going on. I don't care how offended you get. You can get your feathers ruffled up. It don't matter to me. I'm still going to keep preaching. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Solomon says that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. If there was prophets in those days, if there was watchmen in those days, and they were warning the people in those days of impending harbingers and disasters and the judgment of God, I would venture to say that in 2023, the present hour, God still has a remnant of watchmen, a remnant of prophets, and they are warning the people of this day that if we don't repent and turn from our sin in wicked ways, then God will have no choice but to remove his hand of favor like he did 22 years ago and allow yet more disasters and destruction to come as a form of judgment. Why? Because he's an angry God? Because he's a mean God? Because he's a vengeful God? No, because he's a jealous God. And he wills that we have no other gods before him. This is what he warned all the way in the beginning. But we, as society, as humankind, we think that we've got it all figured out. We don't need God, and God can be whatever we want it to be. And we break and we defy all of his commandments, and we act like there's going to be no consequences to it. But my friend, there will be consequences. And I believe for the watchmen in the earth today, for the sons of Issachar, if you would, I believe the writing is on the wall. I believe there's events transpiring and taking place that if we look through the lens of discernment and understanding of the times and season which we're in, we can see that God is speaking loudly. For example, here's an article from Michael Snyder, The Most Important News. Look at this headline. Wake up! Highly destructive natural disasters are suddenly striking areas all over the earth. I want to read a little bit of this. Why are so many historic natural disasters suddenly hitting us one after another? For a moment, I would like for you to think about what we have just seen over the past several weeks. The wildfires on Maui were the deadliest in the entire history of the United States. Then Hillary absolutely pummeled Southern California. Idalia caused immense damage along the Gulf Coast of Florida. And now Hurricane Lee is threatening the East Coast. If it actually strikes a major population center in the Northeast, we could see immense devastation. Meanwhile, large earthquakes are striking without warning all over the globe. For example, on Friday night, now this is very intriguing to me, at 11:11 local time, a highly destructive magnitude 6.8 earthquake struck Morocco. Here's a little more on that. This powerful earthquake that struck in Morocco has killed more than 2,000 people. It damaged historic buildings in Marrakech. And then here's another headline. A village vanishes in Morocco's earthquake. They are calling this a rare powerful earthquake. They, according to the report, this was the largest earthquake to strike the northern African country in 120 years. Again, another biblical number, 120. Remote villages were completely cut off from the world. They lost electricity, all cell phone services, all communications.
Devastating earthquake surged through the North African nation of Morocco, where the number of dead and injured is continuing to rise. The government of Morocco announced 3 days of national mourning after what's being called the most powerful quake in the region for at least 100 years. Debris from ancient structures, some dating back to the 12th century, rained down on those fleeing into the dark streets. The quake, which the U.S. Geological Survey put at a 6.8, hit just after 11 p.m. local time. The military has mobilized search and rescue teams, and Turkey, which suffered its own devastating quake earlier this year, has offered help, as has the U.S. and several other nations. Although the historic tourist town of Marrakech, 45 miles southwest of the epicenter, was hardest hit, the quake was felt as far away as Casablanca. But it's the villages in the Atlas Mountains that suffered the greatest damage, and they may be hardest to reach, raising the specter of a humanitarian disaster. Many, still fearful of aftershocks, spent the night sleeping on the streets. pitching in where they could in a desperate race to reach the living. And as the sun rises over another day of searching, the death toll is only expected to climb.
Now, this Morocco earthquake, this historic earthquake, followed literally 24 hours from this earthquake that struck California. Check this out.
We're also following developing news right now out of Shasta County, where a 5.0 earthquake shook part of the region of the North State, just north of us here in the Sacramento Valley. This was just before 10:30 this morning near Fall River Mill. It had a depth of 9 miles. Again, a 5.0 magnitude earthquake in Shasta County near Fall River Mills. It looks like there have maybe been some other smaller earthquakes or aftershocks within the last 24 hours. So we'll continue to monitor.
And then on Friday, many of you didn't hear about this because it didn't make as much news, but there was a magnitude 5.6 earthquake that also struck Mexico. Here's something interesting just to throw this out there. Consequently, that magnitude 5.6 earthquake that struck Mexico came only 48 hours after the Mexican Supreme Court legalized abortion nationwide. According to the report, reports over the last year suggest some abortion hoppers are also looking beyond U.S. borders. They've been seeking out help in Mexico since as early as July of last year. Now Mexico is set to become an even more attractive destination for what? To go and abort your child. Last week, the Mexican Supreme Court decriminalized abortion across the country. The apex court was unequivocal in saying that the, quote, legal system that penalizes abortion in the federal penal code is unconstitutional, given it violates the human rights of women and people with the ability to gestate. So again, that was on Wednesday, and then Friday, a magnitude 5.6 earthquake struck Mexico. Now, you know what this reminds me of? This kind of reminded me of the event that took place about a week ago, where this Burning Man Festival, now they have this every year. By the way, I call this Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0. The things that transpire there, that I can't even mention them on the broadcast because it will be censored, it will be banned, and it will get flagged. But trust me when I tell you that there is such debauchery and sexual immorality that goes on there that I wouldn't even be able to talk about it. It would be so disgusting and so repulsive. But at this festival where all this is going on, this year, there was a massive monsoon that just came right in the midst of this, left tens of thousands of people stranded. And some are saying there was many articles talking about this. Was this just natural or was this divine providence? So the point I'm making is, guys, you're seeing this more and more. It's almost as if God is trying to make this as clear as possible. He's not leaving this to be an enigma anymore. He is openly warning us, telling people to wake up. There is consequences, just as there was in the beginning, and there will always be consequences. Here's another article. U.S. has been hit by record number of billion-dollar disasters in 2023. Let me say that again. The United States has been struck by a record number of billion-dollar disasters so far this year. Between January and August, the United States was struck by record-breaking 23 weather and climate disasters where losses exceeded $1 billion in each case. Again, this is according to official data. Now, again, where are we getting the money to pay for this? Just asking. I mean, we've given billions, literally billions of dollars to Ukraine. We're in a national deficit, but yet now we're suffering over $1 billion in each case. I don't think some people may have missed that. 23 weather and climate disasters where losses exceeded $1 billion in each case. So we're talking about $23 billion in disasters in one 12-month span. The tally for 2023 has already exceeded the previous record of 22 such events in 2020, according to the NOAA, and 4 months still remain in the year. Think about it. These disasters include fires in Hawaii in August, flooding in California in the spring, and Hurricane Idalia that made landfall in Florida on the August 30th. Together, they caused alone 253 direct and indirect fatalities, and they produced more than 57.6 billion dollars in damages. Two more potential billion-dollar events, Tropical Storm Hillary on the West Coast, and the drought affected the South and Midwest, remain under investigation. A policy director with the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists said that, quote, these record-breaking numbers during a year that is on track to be one of the hottest ever are sobering and the latest confirmation of a worsening trend in costly disasters, many of which bear the undeniable fingerprints of climate change. Here we go again. We cannot say that this was the result of sin. This was the consequence of our own actions, of our defiance of God. Nope, it's climate change. That is the sole reason behind every disaster now, every earthquake, every hurricane, every wildfire, everything that's historic, that's costly. We got to mark it off and chalk it off as climate change. 2023 will likely go down as the hottest year in human history. Global temperatures during the Northern Hemisphere summer were the warmest on record, according to the European Union Climate Monitor. Now, I want to point out something to you real quick. We're almost done. We've gone almost an hour into this program, but I want to get into something here that I want to talk about. When we talk about harbingers, by very definition, a harbinger is there's a primary and a secondary. A person or thing that announces or signals the approach of another. Again, we could say that prophets, they warned about harbingers. They warned the nation of Israel regarding harbingers that were taking place to warn them of further consequences and disasters that would come. The secondary definition here is a forerunner of something. Now look at this. Look at Luke 21:25, and there will be signs or harbingers, warnings in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity and the sea and the waves roaring. Then we go into verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heavens of the heavens will be shaken. Again, these are all signs pointing to, prior to, leading up to the climax of the end of the age and the coming of the Son of Man. Here's another article I found very intriguing. For the first time in history, think about this, Category 5 storms have formed in every ocean basin this year. And here, look at this picture, guys. So you have Freddie in Southwest Indian Ocean. Then you have Kevin in the Southwest Pacific. You have, I believe it's Isa in the Australian region there. Mocha in North Indian. Mawar in Northwest Pacific. And Yova in Northeast Pacific, and then Lee in the Atlantic. Again, let's go down here. For the first time on record, storms have reached top-tier Category 5 strength in every tropical ocean basin in the same year. Again, the waves and seas roaring. Remember, so you got this, the waves and seas roaring, and then Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Again, we talked about harbingers, right? Check this out. This was very intriguing to me. A green comet was literally just recently discovered, and it will streak across the Earth's sky for the first time in 400 100 years. Now, before I give you a little bit of details on this comet, I want to tell you that this Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, I am going to be joining Bishop Larry Ragland on the Kingdom Intelligence Report. We do this the second week of every month. You guys know this by now. If you're new, I'm just letting you know that. I'm going to talk about this right here in great, in way more detail than tonight. So you got to join us 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night. This Thursday night, we're going to talk about in more detail about this. But this comet, this called Nishimura, I believe that's how you pronounce that, named after the amateur Japanese astronomer who discovered in mid-August. This literally was just discovered less than a month ago. It's about a half mile in size and will pass within 78 million miles on Earth on the 12th of September, which just so happens to be, look at this, 3 days before the start of the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. Very interesting to me. Again, that feast starts at the evening of Friday, September the 15th, and it will end at sundown on Sunday, September 17th. But remember, guys, September 16th to the 25th, we enter that 10 days of awe. So you've got this time frame of repentance, this window of repentance. Then you have the Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to close here in just a second, tell you why that's a significant time frame among Christian circles and among the Jews and the Hebrews. Okay. You've got the new year coming in there. And now you have this historic astronomic event, a comet. Interesting. Now you say, well, why is a comet so intriguing? Again, I'm going to go in more detail on this on Thursday night, but comets have history in them. Comets, you can go back and study this in history. They have a history of appearing before major transitions of empires and major cataclysmic disasters and what we would call judgments in the earth. We'll talk more about this. We've talked about this in previous podcasts. We're going to talk more about this again Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. I find it intriguing that this comet, by the way, according to this report, the Associated Press said that those hoping to see the comet should be prepared on September the 12th. And he went on to say, you really need a good pair of binoculars to pick it out, and you also need to know where to look. This comet will pass closer to the sun than Mercury on September 17th, which again, we will already be in the Feast of Trumpets. And it will depart the solar system as long as it does not disintegrate during its trips near the sun. This individual went on to say that, quote, the comet is likely to survive its passage, and if so, would be visible to people in the southern hemisphere sometimes around the end of September. This is what I found intriguing as well. According to the report, finds of this type by amateur astronomers are rare, given the amount of professional sky surveys that use powerful ground telescopes. So think about this, friend. All of the technology that NASA holds, these astronomers have, they could not see and detect this comet, but an amateur astronomer just so happened to pick this up in his telescope and see this literally just less than a month ago. Now, the reason why I think this is significant and I think this is interesting, and before I give you that answer, I want to bring some clarification on something that I posted on my personal Facebook page that got, and our Instagram page, and some other places that got all kinds of flack because for some reason people are unable to make comprehension of what I wrote. So I want to read this, and we're going to read this slow, and then I'll give the clarification of this, and then I'll explain why this is important. Ready? Again, I wrote this 3 days ago. Quote, it's that time of the year again when the internet is full of bloggers and YouTubers posting videos and articles claiming, listen to me real carefully, that the rapture is imminent, inevitably putting a timeline in the month of September, and this year is no different. In other words, watch this. Every single year, guys, I've done this for 23 years. I have seen this year after year after year. In the fall months of the year, during Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, those who understand, again, I got to be careful because I'm not bashing the watchmen. I'm not trashing the sons of Issachar of our hour. Guys, I'm one of them. Nowhere did I say we're not to watch and prepare and warn. I'm not saying that we are to do that. That's what we're doing today. What I am saying, and I want to read this, watch this. These individuals will attempt to convince their audience using graphs, charts, astronomical signs. Again, not against that. It's okay as long, watch this. Here's the part where they get in trouble is they go through all this. They'll do what Brother Ricky's doing today. But then at the end, and some of them are just straight out at the beginning. I mean, they don't even hide it. They just come flat out and say, this is why the Lord will return on this specific day. They'll say the rapture will happen on this day. It will happen on September 23rd. It will happen on September 18th. It will happen on September 19th. It will happen on such and such day, hour and day. Okay? This is where I have a problem, and this is where I'm going to say a strong warning needs to be given to those who keep doing it, but a gentle rebuke needs to come to more of the immature believers that are watchmen that are doing this. Guys, remember, Jesus said, the hour and the day no man knows. I don't care how long they've been a watchman. I don't care if they have 100 degrees of theology. I don't care if they are a theologian. I don't care if they've been on every Christian television network, if they've got CDs, DVDs, a prophetic network. I don't care about all that. When Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, that means in Hebrew and Greek, no man knows the day nor the hour. He takes it a step further. He says, I myself do not know, nor the angels in heaven, but the Father only. This is where I'm issuing the word of caution, the warning, the rebuke. And I say rebuke because there is, and I'm not going to name names, but you'll find them out there on the internet. The internet's full of them. YouTube is full of them. Blogs are full of them. These same individuals come out every year and they miss it and they go in hiding for 12 months. Then they come out the next year and they pull out the charts. They pull out the graphs. They pull out all the persuasions to convince you that Jesus Christ and the rapture is coming and the return of Christ is going to happen on such and such date. And they give you that date, and it's 100% fail every single time. And people keep falling for this. They share it on TikTok. They share it on Instagram. They share it on Facebook. They share it on YouTube. That's where my warning's coming in. So I want to bring clarification to that so that you can share this video and you can tell them, look, because again, we had all kinds of people attack me and say, oh, well, Brother Ricky is a turncoat. He's a traitor. He's attacking the watchman. No, I'm attacking the date setters. And I wouldn't even use the word attack. I'm trying to set them straight and try to bring correction in love. Why am I doing that? Because I'm trying to keep them from ruining their reputation and causing a reproach to the body of Christ. Do you know how many people will not listen to anything related to Bible prophecy because of that nonsense right there? So having said that, here's what I am saying. The Bible says, you therefore be watchful. You be ready and you be prepared. So Brother Ricky's saying, be watchful, be ready and prepared, because we do not know the hour in which our Lord may return. So I'm not telling you to not be ready. I'm not telling you to be not be watchful. And I'm not telling you not to be prepared. If anything, I'm telling you to be watchful, ready, and prepared like never before. Because not just because the rapture may happen or the Lord may return. I'm telling you that because we are heading into the strong birth pangs of the Messiah. We're not in the tribulation. I'm going to do a message. And by the way, I wanted to say this real quick while you're on here. Typically, we're off on Wednesdays. We go Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, do Thursday and Friday. This week, we've had to rearrange our schedule. We're broadcasting tonight, obviously. We'll be off tomorrow night, which will be Tuesday the 12th, and we'll be back Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So on Wednesday night, I'm going to do a message, and I'm going to talk more about some stuff that we're talking about now in detail. Not this comment, stuff like that, but I'm going to give you what, in my personal opinion, are things that must take place before we enter into the tribulation. On Wednesday night's message, I'm going to give you some details of my own opinion, and everybody's got one, right? But I'm going to give you my opinion on, I believe it's, and I don't have my notes in front of me, but I believe it's five events that must take place before we enter into the tribulation. So you don't want to miss that. That'll be Wednesday night. And then, of course, Thursday night, we'll be on with Bishop Larry Ragland. And then Friday, I'm not sure what we're going to do yet. We'll have something ready for you on Friday night. But let me get back to this. Again, the reason why these, and I get the reason why they're doing this, the date setters are lured in and they're excited because we're entering into the most probable time frame that the rapture will take place. I don't disagree with that. I believe, based on all my studies, that the rapture of the church will most likely happen during the Feast of Trumpets. I absolutely do not disagree with that at all. At all. And that's, again, going back to 1 Corinthians and Thessalonians. That's why Paul was speaking to a predominant Jewish audience, and he was talking about the rapture of the church, and he correlated it with the Feast of Trumpets. So I don't disagree with you there. I don't disagree with my brothers and sisters, my watchmen there. What I disagree with and I stand against them is the date setting stuff. Stop doing that. That's all I'm saying, guys. Listen to my heart from love. So what I am saying is I find it very intriguing that during this time frame, don't miss what I'm saying, of these major feast days, space to repent, Feast of Trumpets, going into the Jewish New Year, you have the Bible, you have the warnings coming out of all these disasters. God told Jeremiah to speak to the people that disaster shall go forth from nation to nation in his day. And that great whirlwinds would be raised up. Why? Because the people of his day turned to idolatry. They turned from God. They were doing abominable things. And we fast forward and we're seeing the same thing in our hour. And now we've got all these harbingers. It's like all the bells, all the alarms are sounding at one time. You've got these record-breaking disasters, unheard of events. You've got the increase of earthquakes, the increase of birth pangs. And now you have these signs, these great and fearful signs and sights from heaven. And the numerical, the numbers, the biblical numbers that are associated with these events are just all right there. So again, here's what I'm saying to you. Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is surely drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there above me. That's going to be our main website. Please bookmark that site. Again, download our free app. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. Get it today on Apple and Android. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. Listen, if this ministry is always a congenial source of information, revelation, blessing, equipping, week to week, month to month, in your life, in your family's life, we want to give an opportunity to partner with End Time Headlines. Listen, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. Once you click on it, when you go to the main website, or you click on the app, if you got the app and you go down where it says donate, it's going to bring you to an electronic page. There you can give through different means electronically. or you can give by check or by money order right there on your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia 30655. So listen, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on here on this Monday, September 11th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We thank you for being a part of our broadcast tonight. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, hit that share button, get the word out. This is a great evangelical tool to share with your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, and all them. Listen, I'm going to just pray a blessing over you. We're going to release you today. We'll be back again. We will not be here tomorrow night. Instead, we're swapping out the days. We're going to be back here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So again, no service tomorrow night, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So listen, I pray the Lord blessing upon you. I pray that he be with you, keep you, and you're coming in and going forth forevermore. May the angel of the Lord be with you. May he uphold you with his mighty hand. I pray that he keep you from harm, danger, and disabling accidents. I profess and plead the blood of Jesus over your family, over your household, over your life, over your marriages, over your children. I pray a visitation of the Lord be upon your family. May the Lord bring restoration, reconciliation, refreshing, revival to your home, to your church, and to your family in this hour and this time of Teshuvah, of repentance. And Father, we just thank you and we give you praise, glory, and honor. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you in a couple days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.